Blog Talk Radio.
Who are you?
Oh, I'm part of the Neighborhood Crime Watch. Where this works is you watch, I commit the crime.
Oh my God. No.
There's no talking. You just give me your watch and wallet now.
Here's my problem. You're black.
Mr. Crane!
What? I'm Debbie Crane. I'm a big shot.
So am I.
If you kill me, the headline's gonna be Black guy kills white big shot.
And that's the last thing we need when we're trying to elect an African-American's president.
Dear God. How about if I just blow your brains out right now?
That doesn't work for me. Work for you?
Please, please.
Hey.
All right. Watch. Wallet. Gun. Knee. Right foot. Left foot. Thank God for guns, huh, Jerry?
Dearly beloved, we have gathered here today to issue this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man. What is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor. All hail funkin' lesson. Sweet tongue, grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in a cosmos where no time and space do exist. Vibe in the midst of the chaos. Mortals label me as a lot of...
You're traveling to another radio show. A broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, Diva, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
Good evening, folks. Welcome to the Midweek in Review edition of AfroNerd featuring Captain Kirk, a.k.a. AfroNerd Radio. Folks, it's only an hour, so we've got to really get through this in a quick, terse, prompt, succinct manner. The call-in number, once again, 646-915-9620, 646-915-9620. Let's go to a quick urban alternative groove, psychedelic soul groove, black rock, afropunk, you know what we do. This is Laura Bula, Green Garden. Be right back. It's groove. Oh, for about a minute.
Take me outside, sit in the green garden. Nobody out there, but it's okay now. Bathing the sunlight, don't mind if rain falls. Take me outside, sit in the green garden. And I'll fly on the wings of a butterfly. High as a treetop, down again. Putting my bag down, taking my shoes off, walking the carpet, a green velvet.
Nevertheless, once again, Laura Vula, Green Garden, giving the best of urban alternative groove, black rock, Afro-punk, you know, the stuff that conventional radio refuses to play, absolutely. Folks, this is AfroNerd featuring Captain Kirk. As I said previously, the call-in number, don't be scared. The water is truly warm, 646-915-9620. Of course, we have to speak with my partner in white-collar crime. He is the captain. Captain, listen, you're needed in the ready room. No, scratch that, sick bay. You need it in sick bay right away. Let's get to it, sir.
Terse, real terse? Okay, almost human. Bootleg, RoboCop, almost human. Bootleg, Blade Runner, almost human. Castrated, black man, 2013, non-threatening look. Outside of that, those things, actually the series is decent. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Oh, my God. Okay. I cannot deconstruct that, Captain. I like what I saw, but there's some things. There's some things. We'll get into it. First up, I want to talk about something we've been putting off for a minute. I didn't think it was that big a deal, but for some reason, this thing has been growing and growing and growing, and it's gone somewhat viral on the cyberwebs. We're talking about a gentleman by the name of Orville Lloyd Douglas, a Afro-Canadian, and this gentleman weighed in via an op-ed for The Guardian, and in the op-ed, it's entitled, Why I Hate Being a Black Man. So he wrote this thing, and I glanced at it. I mean, I thought it was another example of black self-loathing. But I was giving him a pass to a certain degree because I believe I understand where he's coming from or the origins of his, first of all, because I think not only was it going viral, but then CNN's Don Lemon picked up on this thing. And then, you know, the man was able to speak from behind his keyboard. So let me search for this clip, if I can find it. I just got to be here somewhere. Now, why can't I find this thing, Captain? All right. While I'm searching for this thing, essentially he was talking about how he was on a bus, and he's a large guy. I think he's over 6 feet and 200 plus pounds, and how no one will sit next to him. And it's rather sad, to be honest with you. It's a rather sad state of affairs that he's discussing. But I think I know where he's coming from, but I would never say that I dislike being a black man or a black person. I think he's not putting it in the right context. Yeah, you have any thoughts on this, Captain, while I look for this clip?
Well, here's the reality. Underneath multiculturalism, that's what it is. The most key component underneath multiculturalism is for you to like yourself. A lot of these groups, because, you see, I have a very unique perspective. I've had the opportunity to work around different cultures and not only rub elbows, but get submerged to a certain extent around these different cultures. And one thing I found out, when you penetrate the culture, they really don't like anybody else, but they love themselves. They're only following the flow of energy here in the United States, and they're smiling, because we also know what happens when you go against the energy of multiculturalism. You get branded a racist. So they're not doing that, but they love themselves. And the most nationalistic people are the Russian people. Russian people don't like anybody but themselves. But they love themselves. Oh, my. They used to tell me, you got to get a Russian woman. You got to get this. You got to get that. You got a guy like you. You're not like the rest of the other black guys. And I would just laugh. I could get you this. I could get you that. They love themselves and they don't like anybody else. Constantly tell me, I don't like Italian. I don't like this. I don't like this. I don't like black people. But you're different. Told me that to my face. And I've experienced this with all the other cultures. Not saying that every culture is going to be this way. This is my experience. They don't really like other people, but they love themselves. So it's very important for you to like and love yourself. And later for the interaction with other people, you understand? Later for that, you just go about your day-to-day business. You know, and it is what it is. I know it can weigh on you, but you have to, it's very important to like yourself. I mean, years ago, my mother told me, when you're dealing with a woman, never love the woman more than you love yourself. Always remember that. Back of your too, Sir Afro Nerd.
Yeah, you know, I downloaded this thing, Captain, but for some reason it appears that I didn't take. I don't know how that is. I know they have a new system here with Blog Talk, so I'm led to believe that, you know, we're still going to have to kind of go through some stuff. But it looked as if it was definitely downloaded, but for some reason it's not showing up on our board. So
okay,
it's unfortunate. But bottom line is, there was a conversation between Don Lemon and Mr. Douglas, and he was talking about how there were differences with him being Afro-Canadian as opposed to others who may be African-American. And he also mentioned the fact that there seems to be this deal with some black folk. They're very much into – it can be said that there's very much a thing about there being a de facto blackness. In other words, that's what he said. I mean, and Lemon chided in with him as well. I should say chimed in with him as well. And I understood exactly what they were saying, because, listen,
absolutely,
we're doing what we're doing here. And essentially what he was talking about was you have an arbiter of blackness, that whatever you're doing, because I think he mentioned he liked P.J. Harvey as a musician. He liked things that might not that may not be construed as black. Well, listen, we play black rock here. Or not, we do play black. We play rock, and we also emphasize African-American rock musician and musicianship, the urban alternative. And one can construe that or misconstrue that as being, well, you're not doing the hip-hop thing, because hip-hop is a very black thing, in quotes. So if you don't do that, something's wrong with you. So you do have a set of black arbiters that will tell you you're not being a black person, which is ludicrous. So he seems to be affected,
yes,
by all the things that are going on around him. Now, just so happens this morning, Captain, at breakfast, I always read the newspaper. I read all day long, but I was reading the Daily News specifically. And, pardon me, in the Daily News, if you thumb through page, Captain, there was some black madness going on, just to be frank. If you were to ingest this as routine without balance, now this person, Douglas, is a columnist. He's well-educated. He should be aware that there's other things going on that balances this stuff out, albeit it's not being promoted. This is why what we're doing is so crucial. Matter of fact, the folks at Afropunk hollered back at us, and we should be getting some representatives from Afropunk, Jocelyn Cooper specifically, who essentially runs Afropunk. So we're going to have her. So we're doing our part to highlight alternative blackness. But if you did not do that, if you were not necessarily well-read, if you didn't bother to do the research and the due diligence, Captain, you might feel like how this Mr. Douglas feels. You might. Now, going through this Daily News, Captain, on the front page, you see a child of color, and you see that child's father. Pardon me. And it says, simply, shot by daddy. Black man took out his infant child, because of a problem with the mother. Not a good look. Then you see race and gun shock. 70% of shooters and victims in Big Apple cases are black. 70% of shooters and victims in Big Apple cases are black. Now, you know, I've been going on and on and on and on, not unlike an Erykah Badu record. Captain.
That was good. That was good.
Well, high cognition. Going on and on about stop and frisk with a 70 percentile thing going on, Captain. We got to have it, don't we? Logically.
Well, you never can refute statistics.
We can talk about the legality. The folks, I'm not going to go too deep into this because it has been a record, you know, an ongoing MP3 file. But I'm talking about, I'm relating this to Mr. Douglas's lament. Again, folks are talking about an article, I Hate Being a Black Man, written by Orville Lloyd Douglas for The Guardian, an Afro-Canadian. And he's writing this lament about his experiences and how it's a difficult one, and it's a cross to bear, being a black male specifically. But when you see the front page has a black male with his beautiful child that he took out, he's in critical condition because he tried to kill himself because he had difficulties with the mother. The mother had a restraining order against this young man. He's only 20-something years old. So somehow, he tried to take himself out, but he certainly took his child out because he had a problem with the mother. Front page. Racing gun shock, 70% of shooters, and victims are black. The page next to that, Barney's in big cop-out. You see two pictures of the two folks involved with the shop and frisk thing. Young man, Trayon Christian, who looks like, I thought he would look like a Captain, back on his cap on backwards. The young lady that also was putting in a claim, she's wearing her ill-fitted Caucasian hair hat, ill-fitted Afro-Saxon toupee. You turn around again, more on the papa that took out his child. You turn another page, you see Kanye West and his woman and his minstrel show. You turn another page, and you see that a young woman attempted to kill her father by using gangbangers to do the job. I mean, this is just today's paper, Captain. This is just today. Now, if you didn't hear the other side, if the folks that are unfamiliar with our show, if they weren't familiar with the anecdote segment that we do about just incidental data or about the Blue Area segment that we do, where we specifically talk about black excellence and genius and goodwill. If they were not aware of these things and you just dealt with this as a daily routine, you might feel like this person, Mr. Douglas. So I'm going to try my best to reach out to Mr. Douglas, but I'm not going to necessarily, quote-unquote, hate on him. I think it's been somewhat of an even-keeled thing with him on the Internet. Again, his article went viral, Captain. Obviously, you have folks that were just beating him up. I don't think he's trying to lighten his skin or anything like that. He's not going that route. But he's just talking about it's a difficult thing. Let me read quickly this from Mediaite. Mediaite has the, for those who are interested, by the way, Mediaite.com has the 12 minute. Actually, he was supposed to have maybe a couple of minutes of an interview with Lemon, but Lemon was so intrigued by him, he said, "Listen, we're going to go over. We're just going to talk." So he broke the fourth wall, so to speak, and said, "You know what? We're just going to go over the limit. Let's just talk about this," because I think he knew what the man was talking about. So let me read a couple of things here, and then we'll move along. CNN's Don Lemon brought on an unusual guest Saturday, a black writer who wrote a column titled "Why I Hate Being a Black Man," Orville Lloyd Douglas. Orville Lloyd Douglas, excuse me, explained to Lemon why he wrote such a highly charged column and what it is like for him being a black man. Douglas admitted he's mainly talking about the stereotypes surrounding black men regarding his self-hatred, saying it's hard for people who don't conform to the stereotypes of black men to live in society. Lemon was somewhat baffled by what he was saying, asking why he doesn't just let himself define who he is and not worry about other people. Douglas, a Canadian, explained race is handled with kid gloves up there, especially to the more progressive way it's talked about in America. Lemon credited Douglas for being very brave to come out like he is, especially with all the online hate he's getting, but also pressed him on rejecting the self-hatred. Lemon said he should just learn to love being black and not to let other people define who you are. Douglas also talked about diversity in Canada, as well as a racial and social issues that aren't being dealt with in Toronto. If only they had a competent mayor who could, and then they made a joke about that. All right, we know about that mayor, by the way. Mayor Chris Farley. I'm saying that joke is suggesting, but he does favor Chris Farley, late comedian. Well, that's it. I wish I did have that clip so you could hear some of the banter between these two. Folks, the best I can say is, for those who aren't strong enough, again, for those who are not strong enough, for those who are not informed enough, for those who are not trying their best to fight the minstrelsy and not become seduced by victimization. I'm going to talk about that in a moment as well, because victimization is seductive. It is seductive, Captain. And I'll get into that. Actually, let's go to a quick, if I may, a quick musical interlude, because that's what we do as part of the brand, trying to give you, you know, the other side. I mean, that's a factor in it, too. I mean, playing minstrel music as if that's the only thing going on, that's a problem. That's half the problem. We can't do anything else. We're being boxed in to hip-hop music as if folks from the diaspora, as if they're not doing anything else. I mean, the music does not engender pride, folks. That's something we have to discuss. I mean, that's a problem. Can anyone point to anything musically on a commercial level that gives you pride? Why does black pride have to be put to the side when it comes to the arts, as far as commercial arts? No one's answering that question. All right, let's get into it. This is Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings. Keep on looking.
Good man, he had me a happy do-right good man.
Okay, we're back once again. This is Afro Radio featuring Captain Kirk. That was Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings, Keep On Looking. The call-in number, 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. This is the Midweek in Review, folks. Of course, stay tuned for Saturday's show, which is the Comic Shop plus Afro Nerd. That is the Grindhouse. So prepare for that show. That's at 6 p.m. where we talk more about pop culture, pulp culture, comic books. We really get into the other side of the brand, Afro Nerd. So stay tuned for 6 p.m. on Saturday. All right, getting back into the fold, conversing with my partner, of course, Captain Kirk. Another issue, as it were, Captain. Almost wanted to let this slide. Again, folks, my apologies for not having a clip for this because I guess Blog Talk's doing its thing. God bless them. They're upgrading, which is always a great thing, but sometimes things get lost. So I definitely uploaded quite a few clips, and I don't see them. So anyway, I was debating whether to talk about this. I don't know if I should be – I'm concerned. I'm not angry. I'm concerned about this because it almost dovetails off of Mr. Douglas from the last issue. Thinking about I guess he's a supermodel. I guess he is on the male side. We're talking about Tyson Beckford, and he took rather provocative photos with a transgender person. And I don't want to come off like a phobe. Don't want to do that. But I'm more concerned about black masculinity. I'm more concerned about traditional black masculinity. That's what I'm concerned. I don't know if this is considered promotion. I don't know what this is. Now, it's disturbing. I think I have a photograph of it with our, you know, at our page. If you go to Afternoon Radio, as you're listening, you should see the scrolling photographs that are definitely commensurate with what we're talking about. So there's, I think it's a somewhat of a mild photo. But it's meant to be salacious. It's racy. The transgender person is definitely, you know, you would not know. One would not know. I would know. I would know because of cognitive abilities and hypervigilance. But I'm not saying that to be jokey, but this person does look like a woman, very much so. Like a original woman. I have to be careful with my wording now, as opposed to a transgender woman. From my understanding, this model, the transgender model, was recommended by Tula, who is another famed transgender going back many years. Now, Tula bears the distinction of being the only transgender woman to pose nude in Playboy, which is a straight man's magazine. And the only reason why that went down is because she was passable. She was passable. And if Tula recommended this woman or transgender woman, then that is playing in itself as well. However you put it, I'm disturbed by this, by the black male being the face of this. As I said before, there seem to be certain things that are going on in our society that are problems, societal problems. And we put a black face on it. AIDS used to be connected to gay white males. Now AIDS, 30-plus years later, is a black female disease. Black male to it also, but black female disease. We don't even hear anything about white males having AIDS or HIV. It's a black thing, in quotes. We spoke about the young lady 2 months ago, I think now, that was killed tragically at the White House because of a maddening episode, some kind of dementia, or I don't want to call it dementia, but she was having a psychotic break. Really being diagnosed with a whole host of problems, schizophrenia and that kind of thing. She was killed. And then before that, after that, there was a black male that set himself on fire at the nation's capital. And then also at the nation's capital, before that, you had a black male that shot the Navy Yard. So then you're starting to see the media positioning black folk as perhaps being the face of mental illness. Now we get into black men of note posing nude with transgender women. Pass judgment on that. All I'm going to say is this. Black folk do need a traditional black male standard. Everything else, regardless of how I may feel personally, has the right to exist. Or rather, whatever I may think, they're going to exist. They're going to exist, Captain. But my whole thing is, why does the black masculine standard, the traditional black masculine standard, why does it have to be thrown to the remain? Because these men, growing men and young men, young males, females, children, they need a black and wives, women, grown women, they need a black masculine traditional standard. They do need that. They need that. It seems like we're forsaking that, Captain, and we're pushing this alternate agenda, and the community is going to be harmed by that. You can't throw out the baby with the bathwater. What are your thoughts on this thing? What are your thoughts about this whole, what is this?
Well, gone are the days of Jim Brown type of masculinity. Gone are the days of the Ken Norton, Mandingo type of masculinity, as far as the public image is concerned, as far as black men. Also, there were more black men in the home at that given time to defend black masculinity. When the black man is not in the home, as you could see, we're in an environment where anything goes. So it's safe to say black masculinity is fleeting at best. You can almost say that it almost doesn't exist. Definitely not from the traditional standpoint that I just mentioned. It's like it's running away at this given point. Now, let's talk a little bit deeper now. Is this the fault of the liberals? Let's think about it. Let's think about it. It was liberal programs many years ago that led to the demise. One of the things that led to the demise. Now, with this happening, transgender, you know, gay movement and everything, now, you're entitled to do what you do. Your sexuality is your business. And I don't think anybody's sexuality should be pushed down anybody's throat. That's your business at the end of the day. You shouldn't be persecuted for it. You should not be given praise for it. But there definitely is an agenda. And where and who is behind this agenda? Where does it come from? If you trace it, you might see it leads back to the same thing that led back, that ties us into the 1970s debacle when the out-of-wedlock birth rate decided to jump up to high levels. That's all I'm saying. There's something to think about. You could always follow the flow of energy. Follow the flow of energy, and you'll see how we got to this point. That's all I'm saying. Back over to you, Sir Afro Nerd.
Yeah, just quickly, I just have a problem with the black community being the guinea pigs for these kind of agendas. That's what I think is the best descriptor for this, is that we're being positioned, speaking tribally, which I don't like to do, but speaking tribally, we're being positioned to be the guinea pigs for someone else's agenda. And I'm not saying that that gay folks shouldn't try to pursue their respective agendas. It's just that, why does the black masculine standard, traditional masculine standard, why does it have to disappear? Because it is it is certainly affecting the black community. When we talk about, as what was reported in today's Daily News, New York Daily News, 70% of the shooters and the victims of the crimes in New York City, 70%. Well, I should be more specific about that. It's 70% of the criminals. That's something else that we have to talk about, also how these things are being reported. They're giving the impression that 70% of blacks are involved in these criminal activities. No, those who are committing the crimes, 70% of the crimes, it might actually be, let's say, 5% of the entire New York black population might be folks that are committing crimes. See, when these things are reported, you get the impression 70% of black people are doing this. No, because that was the craze then, you know. But still, when you talk about statistics and people reacting to those stats, I don't know how we can get around not having a stop and frisk thing. I don't know how that works. Nevertheless, I'm going back to that because it bothers me, the illogic, Captain, of how people want to excuse those figures. I'm not prepared to excuse those figures. Anyway. The black masculine standard, traditional standard, we have yet to see a reemergence of it. Will we return to it? We need it, or we're doomed. We're doomed without it. When we saw Django Unchained, I guess almost a year now. It's amazing how time flies. Almost a year to this day. So next month will be a year. I remember seeing the faces of women, black women in the audience. I'm always referring to that because it was rather stark as to how they were feeling. You saw the woman, black woman, being sought after as a object of the black man's desire. He was fighting for her. He was fighting for himself. He was being portrayed as a man in every sense of the word, traditional man. I'm not saying that gay men aren't men, but I'm saying as far as traditional masculinity, there's got to be a place for that in the black experience. And I think as a form of control, if we get rid of that, you see what's happening with these communities. Now, I believe Q-Storm, our friend of the show, regular participant, regular supporter, which we appreciate, and continue sending emails, folks, to afronerdblog@yahoo.com, afronerdblog@yahoo.com. He sent me an email. I guess, did you see this, Captain, of this, I guess it was a poem or something, black male, a poem or some short story, I think, or an essay that was videotaped, and a young man, some kind of prose or whatever, where a young man is describing a spelling bee, and this description was that the black male speller spelled all these difficult words masterfully. Spelled the word father. He spelled the word M-O-T-H-E-R. And the person that was, I guess, the proctor or whatever of this faux, mind you, imaginary, this faux spelling bee, said, "Well, you're wrong. That's not how you spell father." But he was the purpose of this essay or whatever was that in the black experience, father is spelled mother. Father is mother. And Q sends this to me and saying, "Hey, first we had the Father's Day cards for mothers. Again, courtesy of Hallmark, ladies and gentlemen, you have Father's Day cards specifically for mothers. Now, according to what Q was talking about, and I would agree, you have this person that's doing this thing that's trying to prove a point, saying that fathers are so non-existent, Captain, that in theory, this faux spelling bee required the black male participant to spell father with the lettering of mother. Now, my problem, when I really sat back and listened to this thing, I said to myself, okay, particularly a lot of fathers in the black community or that are not there. They're non-existent. Or rather, they're not participants in these households. They're female-led households. But that doesn't mean, Captain, that you desecrate on the institution of fatherhood. Because there are some men that are not stepping up to the plate doesn't mean that you desecrate the institution of fatherhood. Just like those, if we're going to do an analogy, for those who may not like President Barack Obama, even if you don't like him, you don't disrespect the office of the president. You don't do that. So this would try to, my father was and is present. Your father was president, Captain. I'm thinking of Sergio Mims' father was president. We know quite a few present involved father. The great Daryl B., his father is present. We do have black men that come from stalwart, supportive fathers. But because this man's experience wasn't that, he has to desecrate on the institution of fatherhood. You see what I'm getting at here? All this is a one big ball of dysfunction where now we have to give props to, not that you don't give props to mothers for being good mothers, but you also, in a way, and we've talked about this also, Captain, you would be minimizing her motherhood by saying, well, she's a father too. No. She is good within the institution that she possesses. Well, what are your thoughts on this, on that part of it? I've got to get the audio on that.
Well, I think you summed it up very masterfully. You know, I don't have really anything to add or take away from that because you pretty much did what I would have said. So there's nothing really more to add to it at this given point from that standpoint. You did a great job. So I'll leave that alone, sir.
All right. Still more time. Let's get into – you did mention this at the top of the show, and we will probably get into it even more with more intent this Saturday at 6 p.m., folks. Again, the Grindhouse Pulp Pop Politics. That's what we do Saturday at 6 p.m. 2 days of Fox's J.J. Abrams' Almost Human with Michael Ealy. Give us your thoughts on this. What did you think about it? Top to bottom.
Well, start from the top again. Bootleg RoboCop, bootleg Blade Runner, non-threatening black man castrated in 2013. That's the 1980s black man they were actually using in the 2013. Outside of that, that was my bias going in. Even when you think about it, when I say bootleg Blade Runner, minus the Harrison Ford, of course, some of the scenes were the exact scenes. But that's a whole nother thing. Outside of that, it's actually decent, believe it or not. You know, it's actually decent. It's actually decent. You know, outside of those things I mentioned, it's decent. First two episodes, it was all right. Looked at it, sat down. I said, it's not bad at all. It's not bad. Probably will get better. It's only getting started. You know? So let's see what happens. Back over to you, Sir Raffler.
I said before, we will undoubtedly, you know, we have Daryl B. provide his input. We'll be more on top of this Saturday. But I will say this much. I enjoyed it, and I had a lot of thoughts about not just about what was being shown, but the quality of it. You know, when you get into the quality of the sets and the technology or the technological displays, you sit there and say, you know, TV is gaming for cinema, for wide release cinema, for movies, theatrical releases, I should say. Because if you had, as I always talk about, what I would like to have in my imagination, a real home theater, like you know, some of these superstars where you see or captains of industry. If you had a real, or as close as you could get, a real home theater, have a home theater, but not to the degree of someone who is moneyed. If you were to look at that on a full screen, it's really not that much different than iRobot. I mean, just visually. So I think that's what's happening now. When you start to really see the production value on some of this stuff, they're gaming for the movie audience. Now, as far as what was going on the screen, if you're going to get a little bit internal with it, it really is a mashup, as you say, a bootleg version of a lot of things you've already seen before. You mentioned Philip K. Dick's Blade Runner. Yeah, you see Blade Runner in there. You see iRobot in there. I think there was a movie years ago in the late 80s called, what's it called, Alien Invasion, I think? Alien Invasion? It had something to do with aliens coming down to Earth. But these aliens, although they were extraterrestrial aliens, they were being treated not unlike you know, aliens, I hate to use the, now it's a politically incorrect term, but aliens, let's say, from a different country. So that you had literally in this alien, I think it was called Alien Invasion. I apologize, I can't remember the exact name of the movie. But the police officer, you had that whole dynamic where the partner was a human being. One partner was a human being, the other one was an alien. So it's kind of a retread in some ways. So that retread thing, it's something that's kind of nagging. And you said RoboCop. Very much like RoboCop's coming up. We saw the trailer for that with the latest Thor movie. So we're seeing the trailer for RoboCop coming up in a couple of months. So it's just really a blending of all these things we've seen before. So I think in order to really work, they've got to break new territory on this thing. And I don't know how they're going to do it. But so far, they're doing things we've seen before. Now, as far as the castrated black man thing, you might have a point, but that becomes problematic also because you have folks that will say, "Well, why is this robot black? Why are we seeing a black android?" You see how the mentality, how conditioning has been where you can't have black heroes. That's odd, although it's not. It's odd. I mean, listen, you have a black president. You have a black family sitting in the White House now, going on a second term. But even to this day, visually, it's a shock to the system because there's been such a conditioning that some of these tropes have to have a white person in there. But the reality is, and I mentioned this, I think, in the last show, going even into reality, you have, I think, the closest thing to intelligence is housed in a black woman. This is true. It's even, show you how weird this world's becoming, Captain. I'm going to go into this briefly. The founder of Sirius Satellite, Rosenblatt, I think, Rothblatt, Martine Rothblatt. She is the founder or the discoverer of the serious satellite technology. We just spoke about transgenderism. This person, Martine, is a transgender person. He is now a she, but is a rather prolific inventor. As a he, Martine, I don't know what the male name was, but Martine, as a he, was married to a black woman and is still married to that black woman in this new gender. He's working on robotics and AI after having invented this Sirius satellite thing. So she is on the next thing. The next thing for her is artificial intelligence, and as for S and Giggles, so to speak, for S and Giggles, and you can go to YouTube, ladies and gentlemen, there is a black AI called Bina, B as in B-I-N-A. And Bina, there's an attempt to have conversations with this AI, but Bina is modeled after his wife. So even in reality, not fiction, but fact, you have a black AI. So to go to having Mr. Mike Ely portray a artificial intelligence / android, it's pretty consistent. And also when you think about what's happening in Japan, Japan's all over this robot thing. From what I hear, in Japanese culture, we know that Japanese are, and shouting out our friend Tokyo Mike, who's probably listening, probably, I know he's listening in from Japan. In Japan, they're very hard-pressed to have working androids, robots, to help with the elderly. They're elderly, they're very, as is custom in their culture, they're very respectful, older adults, of older people. And with that, they want to have these androids up and working so they can help with the elderly. And it makes sense. They're androids, if you go on YouTube, all Asian in appearance. They're not white, they're Asian. So, you know, I guess what I'm saying, Captain, as a result, is that we could talk about the side issue of whether he's being emasculated because he's playing an android. And maybe we'll see some things. But at the bottom line is we have a black guy playing an android. And I don't know if we've seen that before. And we should, because if we are to see androids in the future, and we probably will, and we're working hard on it, we're working hard on that. Maybe in 100 years, 150 years, maybe less than that, we'll see some kind of walkabout, human-looking thing, and it wouldn't be beyond. Listen, we have dolls. Sexually adventurous, I'm going to be kind with that. You have the real dolls. Those real dolls, they have black real dolls. They have whatever you're looking for. So in the future, heck, you think we're talking about, I think I might have mentioned this before, Captain, you think the issue of same-sex marriage is a problem. What happens when you have an artificial intelligence walking around? That's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And then just as we look back at how silly interracial marriage, that controversy, which was settled in the Loving versus Virginia case in 1967, 40-plus years ago. We look back at that as odd. We're going to look back, at least they want to look back, at same-sex marriage as an issue as being odd. The next thing, then it's going to be probably multiple marriages. That's going to be an issue with polyandry or polyamorous couples. That's going to be the next thing. And then there's going to be this whole thing of a man marrying his robot. Watch, Captain. All right, folks, listen, we got about 3 minutes remaining. We will do this more succinctly, if at all possible, when the great Daryl B. chimes on in with his thoughts about Almost Human. I'm really chomping at the bit to determine what he's going to say. Kathleen, you know, I have my gym appointment. I'm a bit tired, but I got to do it. Any closing thoughts? We're going to go out in the jam. We got about 2 minutes. Let's just go out in some music. Any thoughts, sir? Even about black androids?
Well, the future will tell all. Let's get it started. That's all. It should be interesting. Let's get it started.
I think it's going to happen. Matter of fact, if you remember, the second episode of Almost Human went right there to robots being sex aides.
Yes.
Which will,
good episode.
That's going to be, they're going to cut out, Tushin was that, in the future. In the future. We'll see. All right, folks, once again, it's been an absolute pleasure. This has been After Nerd featuring Captain Kirk. We will be returning on Saturday, 6 p.m., with the Grindhouse Edition. And enjoy. This is, my favorite artist, Prince, If I Was Your Girlfriend, excuse me, the Vadim Remix. See you on Saturday.
Sometimes those are the things that